From the mid-1980s through the end of the Cold War, I was fortunate enough to work in the aerospace industry, and interestingly enough, was assigned a position in the defense sector of the aerospace industry. It's interesting, when you get a job working in defense, what they actually do, the companies will hire you before you actually are assigned your position. And they'll bring you into the company, and then 8 or 10 months later, when your security clearance comes through, you get to find out what your real job will be. So one day, I was called into the office. I was already an employee, and I was given my assignment. And they said, your assignment is going to be the Peacekeeper missile. And I felt really good about that because it sounded good. It sounded anything to do with peace, I thought was probably a good thing to do. And I was leaving the office, walking down the hall, and a friend of mine stopped me. He said, did you get your assignment? And I said, yes. And he said, what is it? I said, well, it's the Peacekeeper missile. And he looked at me and he laughed. And I said, well, what is the Peacekeeper missile? And he said, that is the code word for the MX missile, which is the United States deterrent to the Soviets throughout the Cold War. During the time of the Cold War, we lived under the umbrella of a very, very bizarre strategy that is called MADD, Mutually Assured Destruction and Deterrence. And by any stretch of the imagination, it is such a strange strategy to think about. During the Cold War era, the United States had a technology that was called the MX missile. And the idea, the thinking was that in the event of a nuclear exchange, we would survive this exchange. If we could get one of our missiles off of the ground, it would go into a low orbit and release 10 independently targetable warheads that would come back down to 10 different cities somewhere in the world. And we built 50 of these. And at that time, the Russians said, we can't match your technology. We can't build something like that. So we'll just build our nuclear missiles so big, if they get within a few miles of the target, they're going to vaporize everything anyway, and that's our answer to your MX missile. And you and I lived under that strategy for a number of years, all the way up through the end of the Cold War. And I'm sharing this story because the thinking at that time was that although the technology would work, it was never really meant to be used. It was built as a deterrent to war. I'm making comparison because in the last couple of years now, in the 21st century, there's a new thinking. That's the thinking that allows us to develop nuclear devices on a smaller level, mini nukes. They're called tactical battlefield nukes. These are nuclear devices that can be fired from a shoulder or from a small cannon and are designed to be used under battlefield conditions. These are no longer used for deterrence to war, they have now become weapons of war. In my opinion, when we cross the line that allows us to do something like that under battlefield conditions, we've crossed a very dangerous line. And we have to ask ourselves the question, the thinking that led to the violence of the last 100 years, do we have the wisdom to find a way to transcend that thinking? And I believe that we have the opportunity now to make those kinds of choices. I'm not saying these technologies are right, wrong, good, or bad. I'm inviting us to have the wisdom to know how to apply them in our lives in a meaningful and responsible way. So now, at the birth of our 21st century, we're at a dangerous crossroads in our evolution. We are at a time of technological adolescence, when we have at our fingertips the powers of creation in ways that we've never had before. We become a species defined by our differences, the differences of our bloodlines, our heritage, our borders, our beliefs. At the same time, we're willing to justify the use of advanced technology. We destroy one another, and we have in the past, based simply in those differences. If we're going to transcend the statistics of our last century, if we're going to master the wisdom of what it means to have the power of creation at our fingertips, we must begin looking at ourselves and our world very, very differently. We've got to see the interconnected nature between us and the world around us and one another and perhaps the cosmos beyond. So now the science, the very science that's given us the power to preserve or destroy all that we love and hold dear, now must solve the single greatest mystery of all. We've got to find out who we are. We've got to understand ourselves, perhaps in ways that we never have in the past. And in the understanding of ourselves, we will know of our relationship to one another in our world, how to find the wisdom to apply our newfound powers wisely, and how to transcend, not just survive, but to transcend, to become more than the greatest challenges of recorded human history. This program is designed to explore and lead us on a journey for precisely these purposes, to understand what the ancients knew about our time in history, what the ancients knew of the force that links all of creation together, and of how to apply that in our lives in terms of our relationships now in the 21st century, in terms of our jobs, our families, our careers, our health, and the peace between nations. All are linked through a single force that Western science now is only beginning to understand. I invite you to join me on this journey of exploration and discovery and mystery as we explore the field that links all of creation in ways we're only beginning to understand, the field that Western science now is beginning to call the mind of God.